Right, guys, so this is me, this is Adam. Adam of MeanGreenNation.com. Let's say it that way. And we have Jared, CovidChronicles.com.
What's up, guys? Good to be back.
Yeah, that's how we're splitting this up. If you're like, this is going to be on the normal feed, Covid Chronicles feed. So this is like episode like 35 or some bullshit. And if you're on Mean Green Nation feed, you're listening there, this is like episode 13, 14 or something like that. There's no, if you're expecting co-hosts, there's no Schaefer tonight. Schaefer is he's a busy man, you know. He's a grown-ass man, so he has responsibilities, like sleeping. And also there's like Tony from MeanGreenNation.com. He's working still. Oh, and he got like some cool internship or something like that. So, if you're expecting either of them, whatever fan base you are right now, they're not here. So it's me and Jared. Jared, what are your credentials again? What do you do? Who are you? How do you come to be?
Just blog dumb shit on CovidChronicles.com and call it a night, like I'm doing right now. On my MVP post.
Okay, so we're here to talk about conference realignment. A lot of stuff happened. Louisville, like any conference realignment thing, it all starts with the big conferences. In this case, the Big Ten took a couple more members, Rutgers, Maryland. ACC responded by taking Louisville today. It was earlier today. Today is Wednesday. Still by 4-6 minutes. And then, you know, so the Conference USA responded to that. And what we end up with is an ACC that is basically former Big East teams, a Big East that is former Conference USA teams, and Conference USA, which is basically, you know, five Sun Belt teams, you know, some Conference USA, and a couple of noobs. What do we think of this? What does it mean for everybody? Jared, do you have some initial thoughts?
Should I start off from first?
Well, just like a general college football fan. What do you think?
Oh, well, as a general college football fan, it sucks, man. It's awful. Things have gotten out of control. It's like a damn carousel running rampant around here. I've said this before, like as soon as we first started podcasting and the whole realignment then became an issue, these conferences aren't gonna last. They're not sustainable at all. They're just like how the WAC was in like, what was it, the early 90s when there were 16 teams like across the nation. And then, you know, naturally it falls apart because everyone's looking over their shoulder. So I think we'll see more regional splits coming, you know, somewhere down the line. I think people are going to figure out that TV money isn't as important when you have access to a, you know, a playoff game that's going to bring millions in to your school. So, and I Land Thieves on Twitter mentioned that today, that Tulsa just canceled all their out-of-conference games, scheduled cupcakes, and then they just try to cheat your way into the playoff game like Kent State's going to do, because you're going to make a whole lot more money doing that than getting your ass beat on Fox Sports Southwest against, you know, whoever the hell you're playing from five states over.
You know what I mean? There's a couple things that influence my opinion on this, and like I'm a little bit older than you are, and like I see more college football, and I think my opinion kind of comes off as sounding like I just kind of want to preserve the status quo, or like that old kind of guy. Yeah. And like I'm not like, don't you want to crown a true champion, like my buddy from work said today. Not really, because teams like UTSA, teams like from the Conference USA, or these lower tier teams are not really going to win. The national title anyway. You know what I'm saying? And it's great to want to have that chance or something like that. But really, what you're doing is like you're ending your season. Like you're guaranteeing that you're ending your season on a negative note. Like once you like eliminate like bowls or some other things like that. And part of the fun of college football is the regionalness of it. You know what I mean? It's like, this is not like the NFL where like you can have, you know, the Dallas Cowboys have a rivalry with Philadelphia, you know, and it's way in the hell over there. A lot of that is built on TV and whatever. We won't get into that. But a lot of the fun of college football are like, you know, just like, or like the localness of it. It's like, we went to the Texas State UTSA game last weekend, and that was fun. There's like 40,000 people there. There's a lot of shit talking. There was fun tailgating. There's a lot of interconnectivity of it. You know what I mean? That's part of the rivalry of it. It's like, of course, there's all the history and all the other stuff. But I think that game, and you can see like the way people were talking on the Coca Chronicles forum couple people like, that was the best day of my life, my young life, and things like that. Like, nobody ever says that. You know, like when the Spurs go and, you know, just like beat Boston in game 42 of the regular season, or like the Cowboys win on, like, you know, Thursday night against this undefeated Saints. It doesn't mean that much if you don't win the title. And so when you put your team and say, like, we're all about winning the title, we got to get the playoffs or whatever like that, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of takes some of the fun out of the football. So I do buy that argument. I think if you're, like, one of the top-tier teams, like your Texas, your Big 12 school, or one of these teams that have a legit shot, Alabama, stuff like that, you want to play off because you want to have a chance. You don't want to get screwed over by some weird loss that you had, you know, week two against a good team.
Yeah.
Also, there's, like, what Steve Spurrier said about wins. And I was having this conversation with my friend who's a Houston alum. And he was talking about what a great deal it will be to go to the Big East and be relevant. It's Houston's only chance to win a title. And I'm like, if I were Houston, I said the same thing, except not Tulsa. I was like, if I were Houston, I would stay. Whoop up on all the new teams, third year UTSA, down UNT, ODU, all these other teams, and beat them all up by, you know, 150 points. And, you know, go into the – all you have to prepare for is just the playoff games. You have like three or four games that you have to, and everybody's going to be fine, rested, because you're resting your starters, presumably, in these 30, 40-point blowouts. You know, you make a ton of money, and it's the easy path to a championship, right? And, you know, he didn't buy that. He's like, no, you got to play, you know, good teams, blah, blah, blah. I'm like with Steve Spurrier, who said something along the lines of, this thing is about wins, and you can go out and get your, you know, and go like 5-5 against really good teams in the nation, but everybody's gonna look at you like, well, you went 5-5 because that's what it's about. Or you go up against teams that you can beat, get some wins. Everybody's excited and feels good at the end of the season. I don't know. It really depends. It really depends on how you want to go about things. Whatever. So in this case, I, like I said, like 150 times, I'm just really excited about the regional rivals. I'm excited that North Texas gets to play UTSA. They get to play Louisiana Tech. Teams within driving distance, like, you know, 3 hours away. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, you haven't really had experience that because like, you're just a UTSA fan. Like, you know, like everything's new and awesome. Like, the first game was really awesome. Playing two seasons is really awesome. So I don't know. What do you think about it from that perspective? How do you like the conference as made up? I know you're not happy about some of the Florida schools being added.
Yeah. Well, I was fine with one of them, but I think having two is a little bit of overkill because they're both in South Florida. So you can make the argument that Conference USA has completely owned the South Florida market, which I guess is true because, well, Miami's like really the only other school down there that plays like big. Well, no, South Florida does too. So I guess that argument really isn't any good. So, yeah, I mean, I just feel like adding two Florida schools is a bit overkill, especially when neither one of them are extremely sexy choices. FIU I'm cool with, but, you know, it's just not that great. But I do like that, you know, there are divisions in there. So the Western division that we're going to be in is pretty sick. You got UTEP, UNT, Rice, UTSA, Louisiana Tech, Tulsa, and maybe New Mexico State, maybe Western Kentucky or, you know, whatever other team they're going to add. So that's nice and regional. You got like three easy road trips at least in there. So, you know, if those schools weren't so close, I would really hate this conference right now. But the fact that they are close and they're in Texas, you know, everyone has some type of connection to all of those schools. It does make it a bit more attractive. You know, get the community involved. They're like, oh, my buddy went to UNT, so we're going to go to the game together, even though we never go to games at UTSA. You know, just to get some more interest in the program.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that happens all the damn time. Like for me, it's going to be awesome to see my alma mater come through San Antonio, where I live now. Next year, I think by all accounts, right? Like, because UNT is taking over for SMU or Houston? I forget. I think Houston. No, SMU. And then UTSA is taking over Houston's spot in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
In the conference. Yeah. And so North Texas will become the Alamo Dome next season. That's awesome. I don't have to drive 250 miles to go see my team play, which I try to do at least once. So, and then I also get to see UTSA play. It's right there. Bada bing, bada boom. or whatever. And then also get to see the basketball team, who didn't do very well tonight, play over there at the Convo. You know? So it's good for people like me. And I know there are a lot of people, there are a lot of alums down here. I'm sure there's some UTSA alums up in the Metroplex. They get to see UTSA play. I haven't had the chance to come down to San Antonio to see the Roadrunners play. You know, not everybody has the means to just, to you know, fly and catch a game and fly back on any weekend. So that's great. And then there's also the other stuff. There's like the displaced alums. That's great. But then there's like the TV opportunities. Like today, the TXA21 up in Dallas, they show the UNT basketball game against UT Arlington. All the games against Texas State, between Texas State and UTSA were shown on TV. You know, you get an opportunity to see those kinds of things. They get broadcast, you know? Whereas games against, like, FIU, maybe you get the feed, maybe you don't. Like, from UTSA's perspective, like, when they're out there playing, like, you know, out there, I don't know, Idaho, was there a feed when they played Idaho?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it was in ESPN3, right? I know we were getting a bunch of ESPN3s. Anyway, the case is that, like, you're hoping for more coverage, and if they're closer, and especially if they're big market teams, you have more big markets, FIU, the Nashville one, the Middle Tennessee one, San Antonio, Dallas, there's a better chance that it's going to be televised somewhere, and maybe so you get at least a good ESPN3 feed and not the crappy, you know, school-produced one, which is terrible.
Right.
Looking at you, Middle Tennessee State.
Not bad.
On the other hand, I think there's a lot. I think we should go through like the conference for everybody that doesn't know both conferences, because there's a lot of like Sunbelt. I know we get like a lot of UNT fans that don't know much about, you know, like UTSA and all these other schools. They have like misconceptions, and there's a lot of UTSA or WAC fans. They don't know about like the Sunbelt teams. So let's talk about that. What were you gonna say?
Let's make this a game. Whoever can guess the 14 schools right on their first try wins. Yeah, I don't think either of us will. Okay. You can go ahead then.
Tulsa, UTEP, UNT, UTSA, Rice, Louisiana Tech, Middle Tennessee, Florida International, Florida Atlantic. Are we considering? Oh, you said 14, right?
Yeah, 14. Right,
so not the 16. Okay.
No.
Old Dominion. Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Where am I at now? Did I say Middle Tennessee State?
I think so.
Okay. There's Marshall. Well, Tulane's still in the thing, but they're leaving. There was ECU, and they're still in it, but they're leaving. There's I'm missing one. I already said Tulsa. UTEP. Where am I at? Did I miss? Oh, UAB.
Yeah, you got one more.
Fuck. I have it in my head. Ah. Which one am I missing?
I think they're the oldest school in the conference. I'll give you that hint.
The oldest school in the conference.
Pretty sure.
I thought the oldest school in the conference was UAB. They've been there since 95.
No, I mean like actual age of school.
Oh. Well, shit balls. I don't know. I think I missed it. What is it? Go ahead, tell me.
Southern Miss.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, I just mentioned it at the start of this thing here. Southern Miss, yeah. All right. So there you go. I've been saying them all day. I kept missing. You know what? I kept adding Tulane when I was talking to Dub at work. And
yeah, because it makes no damn sense that Tulane is the team to leave out of everyone.
Well, again, because like a lot of this stuff is because of TV markets or perceived value.
Yeah, I mean,
New Orleans
really. Come on, they could have got better.
When you get desperate and you're grasping at straws, and like the Big East right now needs, they're trying to put a bid together. They're trying to get a bid, some kind of decent money there. There's all kinds of stuff happening there. There's rumors that the basketball schools in the Big East are going to break off, grab some of the Atlantic Coast, the Atlantic 10, form like a basketball-only school conference, which is what happened. That was like the genesis of the Big East way back when. Anyway, so let's talk about this Conference USA. I think like Florida International, Florida Atlantic are pretty much UTSA. They're like the same thing. They're, you know, schools in big markets, you know, up and coming schools,
young schools,
southern part of the state, lots of talent there, lots of like they have like huge enrollment. I think Florida International is like the most popular school in like Florida or some craziness like that.
Oh man, they have like 41,000, it's a shitload.
It's ridiculous. And then like FAU, a lot of people dismiss it because the football team's kind of terrible right now, but They built a new stadium.
They do have some promise, though. You know, I can see why they'd be interested.
Built a new stadium. They're in Boca Raton. Lots of money there. Lots of potential donors. Lots of good stuff can happen there.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, North Texas fans are, like, they dismiss UTSA the same thing. Like, ah, they're lucky, this and that. It's not the same thing. Why are they there? Just there for the market. They're not going to do anything. So, like, I think all these teams have a lot of potential, and I like that. And there's, like, there's no one team that's going to dominate the conference in the same way that, like, Texas dominated the Big 12, like, financially and like, in power structure. I don't know. I like it. I think if you're a fan of your team in this thing, there's things to like and there's things that you don't like maybe so much. But if you remember, like, the Big 12 had Iowa State in it. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, teams like A&M had to travel to Iowa State every once in a while. But you had the luxury of having Baylor and Texas and Oklahoma and Texas Tech, all reasonable travel things. And that's how you build, like, a community, kind of, like a conference community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much any of this lasts, considering, like, all the moves going on every day, pretty much. But I think if you can kind of keep the core, like Texas, that there's like five or six, you know, like teams within a certain area. Like UTEP is like the exception; they're way in hell out there.
Yeah.
But I think there's some good stuff there, and that's why I don't mind Florida over there, because it gives Florida FAU a team to travel to. I don't mind Middle Tennessee, and that's why I don't even mind Western Kentucky coming in. Like, I have a feeling. This is like, there's like nothing been published anywhere. I have a feeling that Tulsa and UTEP are going to break off and go to like the Mountain West probably. And which, you know, makes more sense to get more teams from the East. Maybe Arkansas State and definitely Western Kentucky, which has a good program. Basketball and football. It gives everybody like a little rival over there. I don't know. I like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. So, I don't know. What else? What other rumors have you heard? I know, like UTSA's rival, Texas State, they're kind of left without anybody or anywhere to go. Like, the Sun Belt is like some weird hybrid now.
Yeah. Oh, God. The Sun Belt sounds like it's going to be awful.
Yeah. They're thinking about like promoting or like grabbing Sam Houston or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Anytime Sam Houston State comes up in your rumors about your conference, oh, man, you got a problem there.
What else have you heard? Because I know, like, you've been.
Well, there's a pretty good rumor out there that Western Kentucky and New Mexico State, like, have essentially, I guess, accepted bids to Conference USA. They're just waiting to get poached again by the Big East, supposedly. Which I don't understand, because if you're gonna invite them later, why not just invite them now and be future proof?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, those teams will probably end up in Conference USA at some point, because the Big East does need more teams. Who they're going to get?
Yeah, who do they grab? Like,
I don't know.
If you say, like, media markets, what, San Antonio, UNT?
Yeah.
If you say, like, history with those teams that are going, Tulsa? Like, is Tulsa, like, not happy about what's happening? Do they want to go?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Do they have the cachet, you know?
I don't know if Tulsa can really survive that far outside of Oklahoma.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't see that happening. Like, Tulsa has a good program, but I don't know. It didn't seem like those are like. It's obviously not based on like athletic success. Like the way the ACC grabbed Louisville and they have a good football team, a very profitable, the most profitable basketball team. Like Tulane has not won more than 13 games since like I don't know, like 10 years or something like that, and they've not been to a bowl game since like 2002. Also.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the draw? New Orleans and the Superdome? I guess that's it?
I don't know. Oh, I saw a quote from some official at a Big East school, and they were like, frankly, I still haven't figured out why Tulane got invited. it doesn't make any sense. Like,
but it only makes sense from like a media market perspective.
But still, they have no command of the market at all. I mean, they just have their attendance. I think for one of their games was like 2,000.
Yeah, they wasn't it SMU. They played SMU, and 2,000 people showed up.
Yeah, something like that.
Shellacked or something.
Yeah, and you know, in reality, it was like 300 because you know the numbers are cooked because they add the officials, both teams, both cheerleaders, both bands.
There was a guy selling hot dogs. Count him.
Yeah, count them. They do that.
What you're excited about New Mexico State coming in, right?
Yeah, I like their basketball program.
But they're way in the hell out there, and they have a terrible program.
They are, but equal distant from UTSA doesn't. You know, it would just be like adding Western Kentucky. Not that much difference. From a UTSA standpoint.
Okay. So, yeah. I guess. I don't know, but like, I mean, from like a total conference perspective, Florida International, which I think is the southernmost school, right? Going to New Mexico. I mean, I guess it's not terrible.
They're not going to go to New Mexico. It's going to be divisional. They would go like once every 7 years, I guess.
No, I don't know. I think they'd play them like every other year, right?
But you only have one crossover game.
Is that what they said they're going to do? Damn, that's ridiculous. It's like basically a division thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they would probably meet a championship game, but I mean, that's something that could be hosted at a neutral site.
But they're not doing that with the basketball teams, though, too, are they? Like, that's the other part. That's the other thing. Is it not just
football? I don't know.
Transport, but like the basketball teams, volleyball teams, soccer, you know?
I don't know. I was under the assumption that all Olympic sports were kind of scheduled in the same way, where you play within your division and then you have a couple of crossover games that rotate every year.
I guess it did. I don't know, because like I've never dealt with like such a big conference, like even 14 teams. I have no idea.
Well, even that, I mean, they would have the travel partner with UTEP, and they're literally 20 minutes away from each other. So, you know, you fly out to UTEP, and then 2 days later, you go play New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's as big of a deal as people make it out to be. I think the bigger concern is that you're moving into a media market that you already have. Because
I mean, like, tell me, it is expensive, and it does have repercussions. Like, say, wait, did you get a new Texas tattoo? Is that what that's
called? Oh, well, it's not necessarily new.
No.
September.
Okay. I didn't notice that. It's not like it is when you're dealing with schools with as small of a travel, like smaller athletics budget as these schools have, like, you know, that's part of the reason why they're like scrambling to get slightly better deals in Conference USA than the Sun Belt. You're looking at, you know, like the difference between retaining or having a chance to retain your young up and coming head coach, or, you know, getting somebody that's young and up and coming versus like a has-been. And like, say the case of UTSA getting Larry Coker, nobody wanted him. They don't pay him up very much. North Texas, they had to stick with a coach longer than they wanted to because they couldn't buy him out or they didn't want to buy him out. You have these kinds of cases. So it does affect the programs, you know? Like, and maybe that affects the basketball team, you know, their recruiting budget. It goes somewhere because you have to travel, because you have to spend money to travel way the fuck out to UTEP, you know? I don't know. Again, that's not that ridiculous. It's ridiculous now for like teams like in the Sun Belt, where North Texas, the closest school was, you know, Arkansas State, or well, I guess you'd say Louisiana Monroe or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's in the middle of nowhere. It's not like easy. You know, hop a Southwest flight to Monroe. Anyway, it's a factor, and I think it matters.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. I just think that the revenue that New Mexico State would bring in from a basketball standpoint would maybe not outweigh it, but it would put it pretty close. So I think it's a small cost to take for at least a respectable name to bring in that people have heard of.
All right, but like, so you're saying like New Mexico State is going to make money by going to the tournament, right? How many bids is Conference USA going to get, you think?
I think it could get two.
Two guaranteed bids?
Definitely not one or two.
All right, and if you look at, like, in the last 5 years, teams in this new conference that have made the tournament, off the top of my head, North Texas, UTSA, New Mexico State, they made it?
I believe so.
Yeah, and so, like, and then who else do we have? I don't know what Marshall did. When's the last time Marshall made the NCAA tournament? Or Tulsa, or Rice, or any of these squads? I don't like what I'm saying. Like, so
I think
one team's going to get in. I don't like the thing about like the Sun Belt was making a ton of money off of Western Kentucky, you know, making a tournament and making some noise. Southland was making money off the one team they got that would get beat by the, you know, being the number 15
team. The one seed.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, if we, like, the conference makes a whole lot of money if it's, even if it's two bids. And I don't even think it's going to be two bids. I don't see how it could be two bids.
Well, there's 16 teams in it, supposedly.
But yeah, would they give two bids? Like, has that been said anywhere?
No, that's just my assumption.
Maybe. It depends on how well they do. I don't know.
Right, yeah. I mean, you still have to have the RPI.
I don't know. It's interesting. I didn't think about that. Because, like, if you're, like, gobbling, there's no – there's still a Sun Belt. Sun Belt's still going to get a bid. So, there's – and there's only, what, 8-9 teams competing there for that bid?
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much guarantees, like, Western Kentucky's going to win that one. I don't know. It's interesting. That's the other thing to know. I don't know if – I don't know if the revenue comes from, via New Mexico State. It's not all added together. I don't know if, like
– I still think having that solid traditional program in there will boost the, you know, the schedule of, you know, the, those middle teams like UTSA, where they're not awful, but they're not a top 100 program. And playing a top 100 program like New Mexico State will really boost them up from a strength of schedule standpoint.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that helps. Or
yeah, it's just hard to quantify how much things mean in the grand scheme.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff to play out there. A lot of things to take into consideration. Like I said, my hunch is UTEP. I mean, yeah, UTEP and Tulsa maybe go to Mountain West. Or maybe Tulsa goes to Big East or something ridiculous like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like basically more Sun Belt teams level up to Conference USA. And this becomes old Sun Belt, you know, with UTSA and Rice and Louisiana Tech, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I think the Sun Belt, in terms of, like, if you look at this last season, was a lot better than people traditionally give it credit for being. ULM was a surprise. I mean, Western Kentucky beat Kentucky. That was big. Middle Tennessee beat Georgia State.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, what did I say? Yeah, Georgia Everyone State. Beat Georgia State.
Yeah. Yeah, Georgia Tech. And so, like, I don't think it's not as terrible as it used to be.
On field, the Sun Belt was clearly superior to Conference USA this year. Not to say it'll be that way in the future, but you know, this year they definitely had the leg up.
And I think if you like one of the you give there's a lot of things like Western Kentucky's been terrible because they were a transitional program. FIU, FAU, the same thing. When North Texas was winning conference titles in the early 2000s, that was mostly because they had, you know, leveled up to Division I in 95, and they were kind of coming to their own 6 years in. And if you look, those other teams are doing the same thing. Western Kentucky, Florida International, Florida Atlantic. I think we can expect South Alabama, teams like that, UTSA, to make some noise, like in FBS, make some FBS, get more FBS wins, you know, within 5-6 years. So I don't think that conference is terrible, especially if you have like major media markets supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Conference USA is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the thing I like about Conference USA is you have like 5 schools that are just primed to have like a nice little mid-major explosion year, and hopefully get to like a Boise State, TCU, 3 year ago level. You know, like Charlotte is, you know, they don't have much competition for football in their area, in a good media market with good facilities. Same with Old Dominion. Obviously, everyone's aware of what UTSA has done. FIU and Florida Atlantic are the same way. You know, they're young programs that, you know, if they get a superstar coach in there, and FIU did, you know, with Cristobal, and they had, is it Ty Hilton or T.Y. Hilton?
T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you get a couple of guys like that in your program at the same time, and, you know, you're making some serious noise really quick. And, you know, from there, you have the resources around you to build on it if the administration is right. So, you know, hopefully Conference USA will be a conference that can boost that potential. And even if only one of those teams really, quote-unquote, blows up, I mean, that is still going to look really, really good because you only have to get that one team to get in there with that top ranking to get to the playoff. And, you know, you're talking millions of dollars in revenue.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only problem, though, is that you'll have the kind of situation that happened to, like, Boise State, TCU, teams like that. Is that they didn't really level up their conference. They didn't, you know, like, you know, raise the whole level of competition, even though some of that money was spread out among some of the other teams. Like, everybody that was good kind of left, you know? TCU left, yeah. Big 12, Big East, Big 12. Boise State went to a Big East. Utah went to Pac-12 now, you know? And everybody that was in their conference is still there, kind of hoping for something. And
well, I mean, I guess in a perfect world, it does boost the the perception. I mean, you look at the Mountain West, you know, before Boise blew up, the WAC was a much better football league, you know, and then once Nevada moved over and then Boise State started kicking ass, they kind of played off each other, I thought. And you also had programs like San Diego State that also had a nice little boost, you know, because when Boise comes in and they're ranked like, you know, 14 in the nation or whatever, it draws more eyes to your program.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to take advantage of it, and I think San Diego State did a good job where they got Brady Hoke there for a while. Uh-huh. And they had the guy that used to coach at Michigan, Fab Five, you know. That you know, the guy plays for the Spurs now, isn't it? Kawhi Leonard, he played there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Like, obviously, if you're a program, any program has to take advantage of its resources and do everything in its power to make itself a good program athletically. But somebody has to lose, and I think what could happen, the danger, I guess, is that some of these teams and schools with higher aspirations, like say North Texas, if you talk to any North Texas fan, and there's a couple of fans that say that they hate this conference basically because it's the new Sun Belt, and oh my God, they're just trying to get away from that.
I saw that guy you retweeted said he was going to pull his donations from the alumni group because the conference suddenly sucks.
Yeah, I mean, and that's maybe a little extreme, but there's a lot of people that think that way. If you go browse, like, say, gomeangreen.com, there's a lot of people that say that kind of stuff. That, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, there's lots of fans. There's always fans that think that their team should be, you know, like Alabama. You know, and Alabama fans think they should win 50-0 every game, and even then it's probably cutting it too close or something. There's always unreasonableness, but I think there's a perception among some of these schools that, like, it's not going to be like UNT, say they get good, and all of a sudden they're going to be like, yeah, well, now we can, you know, bring this whole conference up together as one, and we have, like, this great tie with each other. It's going to be kind of how it has been with everybody else, you know? Like, Nebraska didn't care at all about Colorado, whom they had a crazy rivalry with, or Oklahoma. They left, they skipped town, and went to the Big Ten, saying we'll form new rivalries. So there's that possibility, and it's not even a possibility. It's like an inevitability. And so I don't know, I guess my point is to not get too comfy in this new Conference USA. I think it's going to be cool to enjoy some of the regional rivalries that we have here. Louisiana Tech, Rice, you just say UNT, UTEP, maybe UTEP's winning the hell out there. Tulsa. Those are great. You got to enjoy those. And I think if they can keep that little cluster together, as far as UNT, UTSA are concerned, that's all that really matters. You know what I mean? Everybody else, the rest of the cast can change. This is the core. I think that's important to keep together as best as possible. And I think all of them are like in somewhat big cities or have a lot of reputation. Like Louisiana Tech's not really in a big city, but they kind of have a nice fan base based off their history that it's sustainable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
You can have good teams over there in Louisiana. Ruston, last Shreveport.
Yeah, one of the topics of discussion that came up whenever Les Miles was kind of flirting with Arkansas is that, hey, you know, he's going to have to recruit out of state now because Louisiana, you know, you got probably a good, you know, 15 stellar D1 athletes that are already committed to LSU before they get an offer. Yeah. And Arkansas, you might only get 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So they do have athletes over there for sure. And I mean, some of the best guys that UTSA has landed so far have been from Louisiana.
Yeah, but that's the thing, man. Like, you can only have 85 scholarship guys, you know, and there are way more than that in, you know, Texas, and some slip through the cracks in Louisiana, and way more than that in Florida. Yeah. So that's why, like, having some of those teams are some of those schools and those things, getting your program in front of those guys, those kids there, they know that they'll be able to come home and play. In Florida, if they don't get a scholarship at, you know, one of the major conference Florida teams or even Florida International, Florida Atlantic, maybe they get scooped up by a UTSA. And then, you know, that's a selling point. Like, hey, you get to come play in front of your mom, you know, every other year or whatever. It's not a terrible idea. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. Unless there's more conference talk that we have to talk about. done 30 minutes on conference talk. You got anything else?
Oh, man, I'm just ready for it to be over with, honestly. It's overwhelming.
It's probably not going to be over with.
Yeah, I know. It's going to feel like it settles down, and the next thing you know, is the entire NCAA as we know it will fall apart, and the SEC will break off, and oh, God.
Well, yeah, it's been since May that Conference USA announced the additions of, like, UTSA, ODU, Charlotte, and UNT, and FIU.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are in November, and we got a whole new round of movement. It's really going to be whenever the big schools make another move. And the Big Ten apparently is still looking for more. So there you go. That's going to start another round of change. The ACC apparently is looking for more, and of course the Big East. Whenever the Big East makes a move, Conference USA will make another move, and then some other teams will make yet another move in reaction to that.
I'm kind of interested to see how low the Sun Belt is going to go. You know, Georgia State wasn't too bad. They're not a great team, but, you know, they play in a nice stadium.
A new school. The Sun Belt has a history of picking up new schools. They picked up Arkansas.
Yeah, of course, of course.
All these teams that ever were brand new.
Sam Houston State? Really? Good Lord.
No one will ever sink as low as the WAC picking up Grand Canyon University.
Oh, no. That's an all-time worst.
Scammy Christian school out there. That's terrible. They basically picked up the University of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Well, worse, honestly, because at least University of Phoenix has got some psycho Christian weird. Not that being Christian is weird, but, you know, that far right.
His name is Jared Kalmus.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Just look up some of Grand Canyon stuff they got going on over there. You'll see what I'm talking about.
It's pretty much the universally derided move there. We'll see. I don't know, like, opinion time. I'm not the biggest fan of New Mexico State, but I'll tolerate that. Hopefully nobody decides to pick up Idaho. I hear Idaho maybe kind of is hoping for the Sun Belt.
But yeah, it's going to be a reach, though.
It's a little too far. Mm-hmm. The Sun Belt, maybe Sam Houston State. Appalachian State is not a terrible move. They have huge attendance, but they're somewhere along the lines of Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky was a really good FCS school, and they leveled up, and they got terrible there for a while.
Yeah.
Willie Taggart has done some good things there, and you know, they're a good program now, and they've always been good in basketball. Effing Western Kentucky. I'm kind of hoping for Western Kentucky. They're a good basketball school. I like the rivalries between.
I could go for some Hilltoppers. They have a pretty nice stadium out there now, don't they? I think they did some renovations on it recently.
I don't know. I haven't been out to Bowling Green. I don't know, man. there's like a kind of a rivalry between them because they or UNT has been battling for the Sun Belt Conference title. It's gonna be interesting. Like, super selfish move. I'm just excited that North Texas is gonna swing through San Antonio, and I'm gonna be in San Antonio for the next like 2 or 3 years. So I'm happy with this, and I get to see my team, my alma mater, swing through my city, and, you know, like, I at the very least could see the basketball team once every year, you know, which is awesome. Yeah. I don't got to drive. It's hard to go see the basketball team because they play like on Wednesdays or Thursdays and Saturdays. So it's kind of weird. And you know, like, if I move to any other major market, like Rice, I could see the same thing. See UTSA come through. See you know. Whatever, and between like, say, Dallas, Rice, and San Antonio, it's a possibility to see every Conference USA team, I think, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, which is cool for, like, for people like us, team bloggers. I think it's fun. I think it's cool, and I like it. I like it a lot. Anything else?
I don't know, man. I think the wells run dry. Free Lamet talk. See, that's why we need Schaefer here. Schaefer would be up all night rambling about.
I mean, because, like, I don't get really excited about it. I mostly care what does it mean for the teams that I care about.
Yeah.
And I think we've kind of pretty much exhausted that. There's, like, I guess it's probably important to lay out the complaints about these things. Like, people saying, this is basically Sun Belt 2.0. What the shit?
Yeah.
Which is a valid complaint. I mean, and then there's, you know, like, Everybody wants something better. But in the same way that the Conference USA name has more cachet than the Sun Belt does.
When you got better bowl tie-ins, more bowl tie-ins.
Exactly. But when all that stuff runs out, like I was making fun of my friend for Houston going to the Big East, when the Big East name, when they can't trade off that and like basically Syracuse's name and all those other teams that, that made the Big East name, when they can't trade off that anymore, what do they have? And that may come sooner than I thought it was. Based off, you know, the lack of TV deal. I don't think the Big East is going to get a TV deal.
No.
Not as big as they wanted.
Yeah, they want like $8 million per team or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah. I don't know. And they may get some of that, but I think their basketball schools are going to break off. So, you know, you get to see Houston. I don't even know if like Madison Square Garden is still going to want to, you know, have like Houston and Tulane playing in the conference tournament in Madison Square Garden. Like, who cares about that? No one. There's going to be some changes. We'll see. Like we've always done, we're just going to have to wait and see.
I've decided that realignment is always going to be one of those things that is like really interesting to like the blogger type. The average fan just could not care less. No. You know, because the blogger type, you get a nerd out with numbers and, you know, the whole speculation, all that. And everyone else is like, I just want to watch some football, you know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's basically what happened before. Like, no one – how many UTSA fans really knew what the schedule or what happened? You say, we're going to the WAC. They're like, oh, that's awesome. Who's in the WAC?
Oh, we're playing Hawaii. Can't wait.
Yeah, you just – it just seems like a, you know, a cast of – there are people that are Cowboys fans that don't know what division they're in, you know? So it really – it doesn't even matter. All right, so I'm gonna hang up with you soon. Now, and I'm gonna go nerd out about UNT stuff. You got any UTSA type rants with this combo podcast?
Yeah, not really. It's hard to complain, man.
UTSA is doing good. What is the basketball team doing? I haven't been following them.
They've been all right. Outside of losing to Morgan State in their first game, they've had a pretty solid year. I mean, they got beat down by BYU, but so would most of the teams in the nation. So, you know, they got a big test against Oregon tomorrow. That's on the Pac-12 network, so I'll be watching that.
Which you can get on Time Warner Cable, I noticed. You can watch
that
stuff.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to try to go to a bar and watch it.
You don't have, like, Time Warner Cable or something? Or what?
Well, I do, but I don't think the Pac-12 network comes on my package.
Oh, really? You got to level up, man.
Yeah, well, I'm going to cancel my DVR, so I should use that to get the Big Ten and Pac-12 networks.
I don't know. I think I have the sports. I don't even know if I have it because they moved and they're stupid. Time Warner Cable's dumb. You heard it here first. Time Warner Cable's stupid. Anyway, we'll see. You know what? Give a little summary because we haven't done a Coco Chronicles podcast in a long ass time. Yeah. So, like, you know, quick 2-minute summary of the season and mostly of that Texas State game. Was that the high point for you? You think?
I mean, it was definitely a lot of fun. I just was a little bit disappointed that the attendance was only 40,000 because it definitely felt like more than 40,000. It felt like a good 55, I thought.
Do you think the biggest – was it like what everybody said, all the detractors said about UTSA? What was the biggest reason that there weren't as many people as last season?
Man, honestly, there were a lot of students that were still at home for Thanksgiving, which, you know, kind of shocked me.
Not just that, but like the other games too.
I think it's just a natural fall off for a second year program, you know? Oh, no, I would definitely take that.
There are a lot of schools that would kill for 40,000 people.
Yeah, I've kind of been preaching patience with the attendance numbers, and I think it kind of falls on deaf ears because we haven't been around to see these other shitty conferences and what kind of numbers they pull in.
Yeah. So like 2,000 people at Tulane.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a lot to be proud for.
Yeah. I've been beating the drum for UNT and UTSA rivalry because I think that's kind of a natural one that will happen. What do you think? What's your take on rivalries in general? Do you think they happen naturally? Do you think that you can kind of force them? Or do you think that, what's your take basically? How do you think a rivalry is formed?
I think just by playing some really, really close games. I know in UTSA basketball, Corpus really should have been our rival because they were closer and kind of had some more similarities, I guess, as, you know, just school demographic goes. But we actually had more of an intense rivalry with Sam Houston because, was it 3 years ago? They were undefeated in conference. They had only lost like two games. And then we hosted them for homecoming and we upset them. And, you know, it was just nuts, rush the court and all that. So the 2 years after that, the games were always like really tense. And I mean, really, we don't really have much to do with Sam Houston State, I don't think. So I think that's an example of a naturally occurring rivalry just out of your sport.
Yeah, I think you have like the ingredients for a good rivalry are like regularly scheduled matchups, some kind of like shared like commonality, like, you know, like where you kind of play for something, like, you know, like either conference play or division play or something like that. But I think also like some kind of closeness, because like say if it, like Utah, like Spurs and Utah Jazz, right? They were like in the same division, but once the Jazz started being terrible, like nobody cares about them anymore.
Yeah.
But there are still people that care about like beating Houston or beating Dallas because they're kind of close.
You know? Yeah,
you gotta interact with those kind of people. In college football or college athletics, I think geographical nearness is even more of a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like it's the same kind of thing. There's so many Texas State people that are in San Antonio. That you can just kind of see it, like there's people talking mess, like people talking mess to each other in the stands all game, and that was kind of cool. That's how you build a rivalry. Next season, you know, all those Texas State fans would be, you know, enthused about playing another game that, you know, is now not going to happen. I don't know. I think it's going to happen for UNT and UTSA, and I'm excited about it, and I want there to be some awesomeness like that. Mostly because UNT hasn't had that kind of thing. The nearest teams, like what? If you look at if NCAA whatever has any indication, New Mexico State was our rival.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's ridiculous because nobody gives a shit about New Mexico State.
I saw you had a little beef with Arkansas State.
No, that was just all me.
Okay, that'll work.
Yeah, it was just me talking mess all day. I think the team I hate right now is UTA because they beat us in basketball because we hired.
Yeah, 2 years in a row now, right?
I think so, yeah. And they whooped the shit out of us in basketball last season on the stage. That was ridiculous.
They got a pretty good team, though.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so that's kind of what I'm going to rant about in this next 10, 15 minutes. The Mean Green losing to UTA.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks for joining the Mean Green Nation podcast. And thanks for having me on the Cocoa Chronicles podcast. Because it's both. Right now, it's two things.
Efficiency.
Yeah, it's a combo. All right, so that's
your synergy.
Yeah, and if you care at all about the conference, you know, Jared and I do the Cocoa Chronicles podcast. Kind of let Jared and Schaefer kind of take more of a lead on the UTSA stuff, especially since I've been so GD busy all damn time with graduate school. So yeah, follow Jared. Where can we find you on the Twitters?
You can find me at @CC_Jared. Wait, is there an underscore? Yeah, there's an underscore.
Yeah. And then, like, your personal one is @Jared.
Yes, sir.
And the blog is?
@CokerChronicles.
And the forum is?
Forum.CokerChronicles.com.
No, actually, it's CokerChronicles/forum.
Oh, yeah. I saw you changed it. Oh, yeah. The old URL still works for me.
Yeah, because I forwarded. I had it forwarded. Yeah, so you can go there and talk about UTSA stuff. I've been inactive on it, and also, you know, like I said, I've just been really busy. So GD busy. If you care, if you're a UTSA person, you care about UNT stuff, you want to follow me, Mean Green Nation, Aztec Skin on Twitter, just regular stuff. And also, hey, both of you fan bases, listen to Deranged Penguin because it's funny as shit. That's the last time I'll talk about that tonight. All right, Jared, thanks for hopping on.
All right, thank you. Hopefully we can get some more in the coming weeks.
Yeah, for real.
As the conference continues to turn.
Yeah, I'll be more free, and there'll be more podcasts for both of these.
Yeah, school's winding down a little bit. So.
Yeah, I could take a nice little breather. All right, later, Jared.
Later, man.
Okay, so now's the time to talk about some UNT stuff. Oh, my God. It's going to be a little bit difficult here without Tony. I think because I need somebody to bounce. I'm gonna just like start talking and crazy, and ranting and stuff. I asked for questions on Twitter after the game. That heartbreaking terribleness of a game. And let's see. What do we get? Let's see. What do you think is the blame for the offensive outtakes? Because I think that's probably my biggest complaint. I don't like blaming coaches, and I like giving coaches some time. But I think in basketball, it's hard to mess things up. But Tony Benford is really doing a good job of that. I think the thing to notice, and there's been some people that totally disagree with me and say it's not the coaching, it's something else. But I ask, what is that something else? This is practically the same team that Johnny Jones molded into a decent kind of team, 8-8 team. And I think the problem last year, the reason that they were underperforming is that Tony Mitchell didn't have any practice time. And then, of course, Chris Jones and Jordan Williams got suspended. We're missing Brandon Walton, and that's fine. But that does not explain everyone else's terrible shooting. We're not missing, it's not like they were just missing open shots, because we are doing that too. But we're not getting any good shots. And that's a result of the offense. They look disorganized. They look scared and tentative, when especially playing against zone. And we're going to get a lot of zone the more that we can't, succeed against said zone. I mean, it only makes sense. If you're any kind of good coach, any kind of coach at all, playing North Texas, you're going to play zone. Because they just kind of stand around and, play hot potato with the ball. Hopefully try to get to Tony Mitchell to do something with it, or, shoot a desperation shot towards the end. Or hopefully tonight, like tonight, give it to Roger Franklin and hope he bulldozes his way to the score. That's pretty much it. Now, Johnny Jones wasn't like some offensive genius. Often the team looked lost on offense. I mean, even during the greatest era, the Tristan Thompson, Josh White era, but they always scored a lot. They always in the way they scored was in transition, pretty much the same way Tony Benford wants to score now. But they made things work in the half court. Here, there's nothing, and it's not just the shooters, and it's not like Tony Mitchell pouting. It's not anybody feeling like they're entitled. Maybe the first couple games were some of the hype. I don't really know, but I do suspect that it's Tony Benford, because what the hell? It can't be anybody else, can it? What is it? I haven't got any good explanations other than pouting, maybe pouting or hype. This is like the problem with like what I was just saying earlier, being in a poor conference, being a poor school. Is it RV, Rick Vireal's problem? Is it him? Should he take the blame? I don't know. And we can't really make we can't really make a change there, because he's been the most successful athletic director and orchestrated a lot of the good things in North Texas athletics. The facts remain that North Texas athletics haven't been very good up until this run of form by Rick Vireal. So do you risk reverting back to normal, basically, which is terrible? I don't know. I don't know what you do here, because you're running on a budget here. You have to get things perfect every time. There's no money to make mistakes with. What's mostly terrible about all this is that we have a once in a generation type player on the roster. I know somebody tweeted, I forget who did it, Tony Mitchell's a lottery pick. BS. This is not, he's not a lottery pick. This team sucks. The whole team sucks. Let's blow it all up. Which obviously is ridiculous. Now the question is, how much of this is transition from an old coach to a new coach? I don't know. I don't think it. Sorry, there's a train going by here at Mean Green Nation HQ. How long do you give Tony Benford? Or do you put Texas Gabe 15 asked, with this being T. Mitch's last year with us, how long do you wait for Mike Brown, Tony Bedford? How long do you wait to Mike Brown, Tony Bedford? I don't know, man. What are the chances of getting another Tony Mitchell? Not good. But you got a little bit of Ewing theory there, right? Maybe we're trying to force feed Tony Mitchell, or feel the need to use him. Maybe this team does better going back. Maybe he's too much for this team. He's so good, too good for this, that he's kind of throwing off the whole balance. Maybe you can make that argument. But I don't know, not in this case, because I think you can build a good team. You can build a good program with one or two players, unlike in football. In basketball, you get one or two players, you do good things, you can get that one or two player, one or two similar players, another quote-unquote once-in-a-generation type guy. And I think you only have to look at like a school like Texas, which had a pretty average kind of basketball team until Rick Barnes went and got TJ Ford. And then all of a sudden, you know, Texas was a place to get All-Americans. Now Rick Barnes has so many All-Americans, he doesn't know what to do with them, and he's underperforming. That's a different story. I'd rather underperform at that level than we're doing now. You'd think that with such a good recruiting class, such good talent, that we'd be able to do something here. And that makes me think that Tony Benford is maybe a little over his head. I hate to be that guy. I don't like to be a knee-jerk dude. But I think you pull the cord. I think you get rid of him and get somebody else. Question is, who do you get? Who's better? The guy that we thought was better and by some reports wanted to hire and all but pulled the trigger on, Fran Fraschilla, we didn't have the money to pay him. And that was a big quibble. He wanted more money than we were willing to offer, and so we went with the second best hire, the guy that SMU passed up for Larry Brown in Tony Benford, up and coming type guy, supposedly ready to coach at this level, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, but anybody who's watched this team and watched this team over the years knows that. Hold on, sorry, I'm getting a tweet. Knows that this is we're underperforming. I think we have that available, that evidence available to us. Practically the same team did decent enough last year. They played much better. They had there were foul problems. There was like problems evident there, but they were like young team problems. You can say, oh, they turned the ball over too much. Oh, they're fouling too much. Oh, they don't know how to handle themselves like the way the Josh White, Tristan Thompson type teams did. There were evidence there. They're just like, this is the same team, same potential, just probably more talented, but they know how to handle themselves. And once they get more experience under the belt, they'll be good, just like those other Mean Green teams were. This team looks discombobulated. They look like they're a bunch of freshmen that never played with each other before, yet they have had a whole year together, yet they've had a whole, you know, season combined, or, you know, I guess season and a half. They have college experience here. They're not a bunch of freshmen that just met each other in spring practice, or I mean in fall practice. So you change everything but the coach, and now your team is terrible. Makes me think it's a coach. What do you get, though? That's the big question. I have no idea. I don't follow college basketball closely enough to know all the names. I know you can browse gomeangreen.com, and I think like Cooley, guy named Cooley on there. He's a big college basketball fan. What, the Tasty Greek, he's a huge college basketball fan. And I keep trying to get him on Mean Green Nation to write up some stuff so you guys could listen to it. I mean, to read it, or maybe even on the podcast so you guys could listen to it. I don't know where you go with this. I don't know what college basketball coaches are good. I don't even know what makes a good college basketball coach. You know, I'm sure it takes qualities that are, you know, good in every coach anywhere. I don't know. I'm sitting here and I'm frustrated because UTA came to our house and whooped the shit out of us again. They murdered us on the stage. And they came to our house on regionally televised TV, locally televised TV, and beat us again. I don't know. So what is this other question here? Why does this loss make me feel like my grandmother gave me food poisoning with her tamales? Because it was just that. It was basically like that. Your grandmother who you love, your team who you love, poisoned you in the face when you got super excited about her tamales or this game. I mean, it was kind of a slap in the face to watch the commercials that were like, come watch Mean Green Basketball, put on a show, an exciting brand of basketball, and then see him miss like 7 shots in a row when the broadcast came back. It's super disappointing. These are the big moments here. This is the program basically choking. And that's all super overreaction, I suppose. But the fact is, that this is how you build a large fan base. You look at the crowd, everybody's super excited based off what happened, you know, what Jonny Jones built over 10 years and what, you know, should be harvest time, reward harvest time, is now, you know, eating poison tamales that your grandmother gave you, if you like mixed analogies there. There's a lot. It's a long season. We're 3-4 now. Yeah, 3-4. But it's a super long season. You can put in a good offense in that time. You can get some semblance of order. You can turn this thing around. We haven't even started conference play. I think what Louisiana Lafayette comes in or something like that. Let me double check my basketball schedule right here. I have on my iPhone. Next game is not for a while. Oh, it's St. Louis, right? Yeah, St. Louis. When does conference play start? They don't play for a while. Conference play doesn't start for a while. What the hell am I talking about? Sorry, guys. I'm like super sleepy right now. Anyway, we got good teams coming up. And if we keep playing this way, we're going to get super embarrassed. The best thing about college basketball is that there's always time to redeem yourself. It's not one loss and you're out. This team could have a season like they did last season. You know, good one game, terrible the next game, super disappointing some games, really awesome the next game. World beaters one game, you know, they look like an 0-25 team the next. And then catch fire in the tournament. Because that's all that really matters. This team maybe had an outside chance if they beat Creighton, if they would have done better in the preseason NIT, if they would have, you know, were playing better like against teams like UTA to get in to the conference, to the NCAA tournament, you know, based on the merits of their schedule. As it is, this team's not getting into the NCAA tournament without winning the SBC tournament, which is fine because that's how it is every year in the Sun Belt, and I'm okay with that. I feel like the season probably should be, if I weren't so overreactionary right now, the season probably should be judged on how the team does in the conference tournament. And like I said before, I'm Angry Nation, the rightful place in the conference tournament championship game. Jonny Jones took them to back-to-back championship games where they got their hearts broken twice. And Tony Benford probably deserves a shot to get him to that point, at least. Give him a whole season to get used to this squad, to mold him into the kind of team he wants, etc., etc. That's the reasonable argument. But I do definitely see the missed opportunity here. And that probably goes, I don't know. I don't know how you play this thing. Maybe you're RV and you're thinking, I can maybe go for the one guy that would do really well with this squad right here as currently assembled with Tony Mitchell, Chris Jones, Jordan Williams, you know, like the number 34 recruiting class in the state or whatever it was. Those guys plus Tony Mitchell, you know, winning the lottery there basically. And we have one good season here, but then we have a guy that costs too much, puts the program in an unsustainable position, who can't recruit or doesn't fit this, the program style, is going to want something better, and then we're like, we're basically shit for the next 5-10 years, you know? All your chips on the table. It depends. I don't know. Would you be happy with that? Is that what you want? I don't know. I don't know what I want. I'd like an athletic director that looks long-term and says maybe we get a guy that could do what Jonny Jones did for 10 years. Maybe Tony Benford is that guy that could be here for 10 years and build a solid program and have a solid basketball team year in, year out. And at a reasonable price, a sustainable price. Maybe that's the way he went. And maybe by doing that, you know, he took a guy that wasn't ready to coach to win Sun Belt titles, to win NCAA tournament games, to win games against Creighton, number 16 Creighton at the time, you know. And, you know, has a learning curve that includes losses to Alabama Huntsville. Losses, the learning curve that includes losses to UTA at home with a huge crowd. I don't know. I just know that it sucks. And, you know, I think everybody has been playing the game. The, I can't wait till basketball season game with his football team that's been on an eight-season losing streak. And to see the one, quote-unquote, good thing about North Texas athletics, at least men's athletics, because the soccer team has been really good. But the major money sport, the profile, high-profile sport, basketball being disappointing is, I think, like what somebody say, they're getting punched in the nuts, basically. Let's see. Oh, look, Tony Mitchell says, "We suck tonight. Simple as that. Nothing much to say. Thank y'all for coming. Tough one." And he said that with capitalizing every word, so that's great. Let's see, what else? What other tweets of the night? I think RV needs to hold himself accountable. All this money into athletics, and we have a 4-8 football team and a 3-4 basketball team. How long should Benford have to prove himself? We already kind of said that. Free throws, what is this? How do you make free throws? I don't know. There is, you know what? There is that part there, the part where we're just kind of having a terrible shooting night that contributed to this loss. Tony Mitchell airballed like 2 threes and shot badly on like a couple others. Chris Jones got a steal when we still had time to come back. We're down by like 5 to 10 points or something like that with like 4 minutes to go. Stole the ball, went up for the basket, and badly missed the layup. I mean, how many times does that happen? I don't know. But it wasn't just one game. This is like Tony Mitchell shooting like 23% from three this season, where he shot like 43% last season. Everyone's shooting percentage is down. And the one sharpshooter that we have is shooting 11% in Clark Overlander. I don't know. It's one thing to have an off shooting night. It's really strange to have an off shooting first 7 games. Other tweet of the night, looks like we're an average high school team trying to break a zone. Yeah, and like that's what I said, looks like we're playing my first zone offense out there. I don't know, man. I don't know where we go with this. I don't know what to do with this basketball team. I don't think RV is going to make a move. There's no money to make that move. That's the realistic... That's the reality of the situation. It's a realistic view. So we're going to have to stick this out. Is there a chance that this thing improves? Obviously, yes, there's a chance. There's only been seven games so far played. We haven't even entered conference play yet. All it takes is a couple more shots going in, and this is an entirely different season. It's a long season, long way to go. And again, nothing matters except the conference tournament. Shoot bad there, then it's all over. Officially. It ain't over till it's over. And other cliches. Anyway, so I'm tired. This has been 1 hour and 8 minutes on the podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm disappointed. I'm going to go finish drinking my beer. MeanGreenNation.com. MeanGreenNation on Twitter. Aztec Skin on Twitter. Listen to the Deranged Penguin podcast. Etc., etc. Later, guys.